Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I am proud to be speaking with Bill Hinburn of Super Strength Training, and our topic will be retro muscle building without weights. Greetings and welcome, Bill. How are you, sir?
Doing well, and you?
I'm doing well also, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely.
Now, Super Strength Training has a catalog with a lot of great work in it from yesteryear. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to go through the catalog, take a journey through it of all the different systems you have that involve building muscles without weights.
Oh, great.
I know that currently I'm working on the Muscle Control by Magic.
Yes.
And it's very interesting working with it. I was injured recently, partially through weightlifting, so I had to scale back on what I was doing, and I can't deal with heavy weights right now or even medium-sized weights. So I'm back to very light weights and doing other things. And I found that the Muscle Control, it's different than lifting weights, of course, but it gives you an awareness of your body that lifting weights alone does not give you. So I'm very grateful that I ordered that from Super Strength Training once upon a time, and I've been using it every day.
Good. I'm glad you got good results. It is a unique system, and that's probably the best publication on it.
Did Magic come up with the system? Because other people duplicated it. Some of them called it Muscle Control, and some of them called it different other things. But you know, generally, it's you become aware of your muscles and you tense them. And go ahead.
I'm not aware of any other publication prior to 1910. There may have been, but this is probably the most widely distributed at the time. And then, of course, later on, there were a few people that came up with courses. Anton Matisak was one. Otto Arco used Muscle Control. Sandow used it in his stage performances. Gremick was very good at it. So was Sigmund Klein. Ed Jubenville wrote a book on it. John Farbotnick, Mr. America, I believe it was 1950. And Marvin Eder was very good at it, too. Marvin Eder was, of course, out of New York. And he used to train with Reg Park. They had training sessions that no one else could keep up with them.
I can imagine. Reg Park is one of my inspirations. Of course, he was Arnold's main inspiration too. And Reg would take people under his wing and like mentor them, and they would become champions. He did this with Arnold as well.
Yeah, yeah. He did it with Bruce Randall. I'm trying to think of his brother-in-law's name. Johnny Isaacs, he helped him win contests. And, yeah, he was a very benevolent person. He would always help people.
And that's why he's remembered with fondness today. And I love his movies. We talked about it before. He didn't really make a lot of them. I mean, he made, I think, five or four, depending on how you count the fifth movie. But they were very memorable, and he had this understated charisma that was very effective.
Yes, so he was very. He was one of the few that he was not demand. There was no demand that he lose weight. Steve Reeves was told to lose weight for his part in Hercules, and of course, Steve Reeves only made 2 Hercules movies.
Mm-hmm.
He made several other movies, but the only 2 with as Hercules, and he had to lose weight. That's why he looks considerably smaller. But Reg Park, there was no limit to how much he weighed. And same way with Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, Reg Park and Lou Ferrigno are on my wall to the right of where I'm sitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're 2 of my inspirations. I don't think I will ever look like Lou Ferrigno or Reg Park, but they're my ideals. My ideals that I strive for, so I have them there on the wall to inspire me as I'm doing whatever exercise I happen to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a great book on handstanding and doing exercise like that, and those build muscles too.
Oh, absolutely. The thing that many people don't realize is that you have to ease into doing a handstand, because it's a very abnormal position for the body to be in. You have to build up your fingers, hands, forearms, your back.
We don't normally walk on our hands or do anything like that naturally. You're right.
We're actually designed to walk on all fours, and that's the reason people get shoulder injuries with a rotator cuff. You know, but standing, erect gave us a clear-cut advantage over the rest of the animal kingdom, as well as opposing digits,
mm-hmm.
The ability to speak. Some people feel that the ability to speak was developed through dog training early on. Dogs became more or less a pet of humans. And so I don't know how true it is, of course, but the ability to communicate and share ideas has a very profound effect. The great apes, gorillas, silverbacks especially, can communicate through sign language and sounds and what have you. And if you're ever around any of the primates, they're very wondrous. You can see a lot of the emotion and that sort of thing with them. So it's with humans, it's a clear-cut advantage to have those attributes. Now, with getting back to doing handstands, hand balancing, people can identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they've never done a handstand, they have certainly tried to do a cartwheel or a variety of other activities as when they were children, so they can appreciate doing a handstand. And it takes practice because it is better to have someone with you that can look at you and critique what you're doing, because you don't really realize if your body is straight up or not and balanced correctly. But if someone is holding your feet or looking at you from the side, they can tell you, which way to go. Your fingers are the most important thing in hand balancing, aside from the strength of your shoulders. It's like, for example, when you walk. If someone injures their toes or loses a toe, they have to learn to walk again. In the standing position, the muscles come into play with your legs,
mm-hmm.
but the stabilizer muscles are very important, because when you're standing, you have to constantly automatically, after a period of time, automatically have your stabilizer muscles continually maintain your balance. And, of course, that's through your toes and your feet. If you watch somebody standing for any length of time, if they're barefoot, you'll see their toes moving. They won't even realize it. They won't even realize that they're using their toes.
I have to notice that next time. Next time I see somebody walking barefoot, or when I'm walking barefoot, I have to look down at my toes and
observe if they're standing. If they're standing still, you'll notice that their toes will be moving because they have to constantly balance. A child, when a child learns to crawl, and eventually after the crawling stage, they reach up on a piece of furniture and pull themselves up. Now they're standing. However,
mm-hmm.
standing with the aid of a chair or a sofa or what have you. The next step is to develop the stabilizer muscles, okay? And that's when they take their first step and, of course, fall down. But they get back up. And they keep getting back up. And they keep getting back up for longer periods of time. And they stand. And you'll notice how they're standing. And their body is constantly moving side to side, forward and backward. And you'll notice their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Their stabilizer muscles are maintaining their balance. And then they take that first step. And, of course, they fall. And once again, they get back up, they're standing, and they take another step, and so on. But it's the stabilizer muscles that can keep you balanced. It's the same way when you're doing any barbell or dumbbell lifts, especially overhead. You'll see that lifting a barbell is far different than a dumbbell.
Yeah.
Barbell has the benefit of both hands. They work in unison, okay? Tandem, so to speak. But if you get dumbbells, one hand is on its own. It doesn't have the benefit of that other hand or that arm. So the stabilizer muscles come into play. That's why if you're training with barbells for any length of time, say 6 months, and then you do the same exercises with dumbbells, you'll notice a certain soreness the next day. And that soreness, you can bet, is the stabilizer muscles because they haven't been coming into play as much.
That's an interesting point, and I've noticed it too throughout my lifting career. Well, not really career, my lifting preoccupation is that if you stop exercising something for a while, it'll start hurting, and it's as if the body is telling you that you're not exercising that part of it enough.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is that muscle memory, once you have had certain muscular development in any part of the body, you hypertrophy to that extent. And then you suddenly stop exercising for whatever reason, bedridden, what have you. Then you atrophy, okay? And you lose that muscle. You will gain that muscle back through muscle, what they refer to as muscle memory, far quicker than if you ever had it.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I know I've had to give up lifting at various points in my life for various periods of time. And whenever I restarted, the muscles came back fairly quickly.
Yep. Absolutely.
The what you were describing with the child standing up and learning how to walk, I'm a grandfather, as you know, and it's almost 2 years now I've been a grandfather. So I'm getting to observe a lot of these with my grandson, taking his first steps and learning to walk. And every time I see him, it's like he's amazingly grown from the last time I've seen him. Now he's walking around quite freely, but I remember when he was falling all the time and taking uncertain steps and wobbling, but he mastered it now.
Yeah, it's It's really interesting when you you know, you follow somebody for any length of time who has been training. You know, for example, if you see them today and then you haven't seen them up until, let's say, 6 months from now, if they've been training regularly, they may not think that there's any improvement, but you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at yourself every day, it's an ever so slight change, for better or for worse. But if you see yourself in the mirror today and then don't for, say, 6 months, you'll notice you'll notice a change. But see, that's that has to do with a lot of different things. It's a very, very slow process. And I think that over the years, people in training will use mirrors to see their improvement. They will see a certain improvement, or their mind may think they see it, but mm-hmm. you have to have somebody who's brutally honest and tell you actually what's going on. You know, the fact, the truth,
right.
The brutal truth. You know.
Yeah, that is very important to get that honest feedback. I'm noticing as I get older, and now, like my grandson, I have to deal with balance issues, that, again, things take... Things seem to take forever to happen, but people who don't see me very often, when they see me, they, again, notice, as you're describing, the changes in me that I can't see, because I'm dealing with doing things differently. So to me, it seems like I'm not showing growth or change, but people who haven't seen me remark on it. So I must be on some
right.
level.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, of all the exercises that and all the routines that Super Strength Training has gathered together and has made available, which would you recommend for me at this particular point in time? I just started doing weights again. I was doing things without weights for a while. I injured my shoulder and then my back.
Right.
So you know, for a while it was like very difficult. Walking around with a cup of coffee was about the greatest amount of strength I can muster for a while. But now I'm back to doing light weights, and I like playing with bodybuilding toys. So I have kettlebells, I have dumbbells, I have barbells, I have toner bands, as they call them. I have D weights. I have, you know, all sorts of different things. So I'm trying to make my routines interesting, and I'm finally upping the poundages, but they're still fairly low. And muscle control I'm doing, and I've modified it a little bit, you know, so that I don't aggravate my lower back. And I'm doing the Atlas exercises too, with slight modifications, because some of them involve twisting and bending in ways that I shouldn't be at this particular point in time. And I'm finding that although I miss doing more weights, I'm getting benefit from doing non-weight exercises. Which are the ones that you would recommend that I introduce into my routine till I get strong enough to really pound the weights again?
Well, if you're going to do body weight exercises, there's a number of them that you can do, but they're very common. Everybody's experienced the push-ups, for example. Start out with push-ups, and I tell people, you know, lay face down on the floor and put your hands approximately shoulder width and keep your back straight and push up rather than from the toes, from the knees. It is far easier keeping your back straight, okay? And then after you say can do, you know, 25 or what have you, and then gradually move to 26, 27, 28, and so on. Get up to 50. And then do the push-up with your toes, hands in your toes, keeping the back straight. And again, start out with maybe 10, 15, 20, whatever you can do, and gradually progress up to 50. And then raise your feet, okay? You can use any piece of furniture. If you're outdoors, you can use blocks, anything that's handy that you can set your toes on, and keep raising your feet, okay? And then you can do things like you can put blocks under your hands, okay, and do push-ups, and that will allow your chest to go below parallel. And then you can progress like that. And then it's the same way with doing squats. You know, you can start if you've been convalescing or what have you, and you can't do a squat, okay, then you do a partial squat, putting your hand on a counter, on a chair, what have you, and go down partially until you can't go down any further, and come up. It's a partial squat. And then try to go lower, you know, once a week or what have you, go lower until you can go all the way down. And then, of course, progress, adding individual repetitions. That's very helpful. The body weight exercises are good. You know, it's a pro and con type thing. The pro is you can do them anywhere. You don't have to lug around any equipment, bands, barbells, any type of equipment, okay? You just need your body and the ground. With that, you can continue with other exercises, chin-ups, okay? You can do chin-ups. If you can't do a chin-up, again, get a bar and stand on something, stand on a chair or what have you, where the bar is, at chin level, just under your chin, and lower yourself, you know, buckle your knees, lower yourself, bring yourself back up, even if it's an inch or 2 inches, okay? And do 10 repetitions of that in the first week. And then the following week, try to add a repetition, okay, until you can do, say, 20 repetitions. And then lower it even more, okay, go down even further. Rather than 2 inches, go down 4 inches. So you see you're lowering yourself going down until you're at arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
And that will take some time. There's no doubt about it, but that is the best way to do chin-ups if you've never done them before.
It's been a while since I've done chin-ups. I do have a bar though, so maybe I'll put that up and start trying those again. So progressive resistance, even if you do it in terms of the number of repetitions and use distance to your advantage. That's a very effective way to build up without the weights.
Certainly, and when you're doing that, you add, you know, anytime you're training, you add repetitions. In the case of body weight exercises, or I should say exercises without any type of apparatus, okay. You add repetitions, you can add sets, strict form. I don't recommend doing them every day, but you can. Rest between sets, you know, time that, shorten it up. The time between exercise sessions, like I say, you could do them every day. Or you could do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or you can do Monday and Thursday. You know, things like that. Depends on what your recuperative powers are.
Well, you've always praised the virtues of rest, and it is true that our bodies actually grow when we're resting, not when we're working out. Exactly. Working out helps the growth get stimulated and happen, but unless you're resting, you're not going to grow. What I do, because I like working out every day, but I know that life is not going to give me the luxury of working out every day. So I'll miss one or two days during the week because of other commitments or responsibilities. When those days come, I treat them like basically this is my growth day. My body's growing today. So it's okay that I'm not working out. I don't have to feel bad about it or, you know, try to make it up. I'll just make this my growth day. And this way it's a positive thing. And although I don't look forward to it, I treasure it when it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. But the most important thing, and the part that really separates the people that are successful from those who aren't, is you have to be consistent. You can't stop.
Yeah.
Okay. Many people get bored, and if you're bored, change it up. Change the exercises. Change the equipment you're working with. If you're doing free body weight exercises, do cable training or with strands or cables, whatever you want to call them. And if that doesn't work, or if you get tired of that, that's not a problem. Go to dumbbells, light dumbbells. And then go to heavy dumbbells. Then move to barbells. You know, you can do a, almost like circuit training over a period of years, okay? It's just a change everything up. But the most important thing is you have to progress, okay? You can't remain stagnant. You can't just keep doing the same thing with the same resistance, the same repetitions. If everything is the same, then you're going to be stagnant. You're going to stay right there and have that amount of strength. You have to keep the body off balance. And there's only a few ways you can do it. Like I said, and I hate to repeat myself, but it's add repetitions resistance. Cut the time between sets or repetitions. Do the repetitions slowly. None of that slamming and banging stuff. That's for the bubblegum
right.
crowd. They will. You can't reason with them. They're going to learn through. If they're smart, they'll listen to you, but most don't. And they'll end up, when they get to be 40 or whatever, with the pains and stuff, and eventually joint replacement or whatever, okay? The other thing, besides the number of repetitions and the resistance, is strictness. You know, don't get sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
If a curl is a curl, if it's done properly and strictly, it's a strict curl. If you want to do a cheat curl, call it that. Cheat all you want, but it's not a strict curl. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Don't call it something when it isn't. You know, it's just,
And the cheats can be useful if you want to use them to go past the point where you are.
Sure.
But yeah, if you're cheating all the time, you're not going to experience any consistent growth, or you're really not doing yourself a favor by handling the extra poundages.
Yeah. Well, that's very true.
Yeah. One of the routines that I'm currently doing, it's by a company named Darebee, and they have a website, and all the stuff is on the website. And they have a Hercules routine. So I figure I would do that because I'm Hercules. So they have different levels. And like the first level is doing three sets of 10 reps. And then the second level is doing five sets of 10 reps and so forth.
Right.
And so, again, I had to start from point zero again. So I started just trying to get up to the three sets of 10 reps. Then I got there. Early, I met my target date early, so I started putting on the wrist bands, the wrist weights.
Right.
So that added an additional 2.5 pounds to each arm or around my ankles. So I built up to the point where I was doing the three sets with the armbands. Now I added light weights too. Mm-hmm. And when I get to being able to do it with 5 pounds and the 2.5 pound wristband, I'm going to try now for the five sets of the 10 reps.
Exactly.
And for that. And I'm going to keep going until I've run out of levels. And last time I had to do this, I would make up my own levels after I ran out of the ones that they had given me. But it was just basically doing more reps and adding more resistance to each exercise.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very simple activity. People try to look for the secret, you know, and human nature being what it is, and I stress this constantly, human nature being what it is, we always try to find an easier way. How many times you've done something that's strenuous, either mentally or physically, and you say to yourself deep down inside, it's got to be an easier way. As soon as you start entertaining the easier way with physical training, you're defeating your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, with a lot of things, too, not just physical training, even with mental training. As you know, I meditate and I do all sorts of things with my brain. There, too, you know, if you stop working at it diligently, it's use it or you'll lose it.
Yes, absolutely. Use it or lose it. Yes, your body is very lazy. It only wants to carry, with the exception of fat, the only thing it wants to carry is what it's used, what is useful. That's why when you're developing muscle and what have you, if you use it, terrific, you'll keep it. If you don't use it, it will atrophy and shrink and be gone. You know. And you know, the other thing is, you know, everybody says, well, you know, if you stop training, all that muscle is going to turn to fat. No, it does not. I repeat, does not turn to fat. I'll repeat that again. Muscle does not turn to fat. Here's what happens. You're maintaining a certain diet while you're training, while you've got the muscle, okay? When you stop training, you have to adjust that diet, whatever you're eating, accordingly. If you do not, okay, you're going to add fat to your frame.
Right.
That's the thing. So muscle does not turn to fat. If you want to build muscle, you do that in the gym. If you want to lose, if you want to develop definition, in other words, see that six-pack rather than just be strong in the abdominal area or the midsection. Well, that's done in the kitchen.
Yes.
There are people, and you've met them throughout your life, whether you know it or not, that have never touched a barbell, okay? They might have done certain athletics when they were kids simply because they were good at it or whatever. But you can see the abs. You could see the definition, okay? It's because of their diet, okay? They can, through their unique metabolism, they can digest food, and it does not go directly to fat. And in addition, they may be active. They may have occasion that requires them to do physical things. Other ones are sedentary. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, It's the dietary regimen and how their body handles foodstuffs. It's just how it is, you know. And then there are other people that have a predisposition to carrying extra weight.
Mm-hmm.
They have a big frame, okay, and they're wired that way. They can thank their parents for that, okay, and they carry fat. Okay? They just do. Okay? And no matter what they do, they struggle constantly and what have you. If you are going to lose fat, okay, and not lose muscle, you have to exercise. If you go on a diet of any kind, say a low-cal or a low-carbohydrate or any kind of diet where you're trying to lose fat, you have to exercise to keep the muscle. Otherwise, you're also going to lose
and
be able to beat it.
And the muscle, it burns more calories than not having a muscle develop.
Yes, yes.
So you're
absolutely.
You're thermically burning more fat.
That's right. And the thing is, muscle is heavier than fat. It's more dense. That's why if you've ever been around these carnivals where the person guesses the weight and stuff like that.
Yes.
Of different people, they study that type of thing, because if you look at two people, okay, they can be the same height and they can be the same weight right to the pound, but they can look drastically different. And if you've ever been around young ladies that have been in gymnastics, okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, gymnastics or even, you know, weightlifting or anything like that, they're solid as a rock. And they're heavy. They're a lot heavier than they look because it's muscle. And muscle is heavier than fat.
We've had on one of our special shows on mace training. Several young ladies who were into mace training, and also they were kettlebell champions.
Mm-hmm.
On a very high level. And yeah, they were very sturdy looking. Some of them were lean and some of them were stocky, but they looked powerful. And I'm sure they were, based on the pictures that I've seen of them lifting these kettlebells.
Yeah. But That's something that you know, people don't realize. They're solid as a rock, and you know, they're a lot heavier than they look because of the muscle. You know, you think, she weighs 120 pounds. No, she weighs 145. Oh, yeah. I've been around them. I'd say, you know, I just guesstimate. No, they're flattered. They say, I wish, you know, as if that number means anything. You know, in my humble opinion, dump the scale and look at the mirror. That's what counts. How do your clothes fit? How do you feel? How do you look? You know, hey, when's the last time somebody walked up to you and said, Hercules, wow, you look good, 183 pounds, right? No. People don't care how much you weigh. They don't have a clue. They don't care. It doesn't even enter their mind. Okay, it's how do you look? You know, people will say, wow, you look good for your age, you know. You know, it's just how people are. You know, how do you feel? You know, if you feel good and you look good, your clothes fit, you know, that's great. And as far as training, when you get to be a senior citizen or whatever, you're not looking to break any lifting records. What you're looking to do is feel good,
right,
and be able to do the chores that you've always done without any pain, you know, because as time goes on, you know, your joints start to bother you, you know.
Yep.
And that's what you try to avoid. You know, who cares if you can lift a car out of a ditch, you know? No, nobody cares about that, you know. You know.
Although that would be very cool, lifting cars out of ditches. But
yeah.
Now, I am officially going to be a senior citizen next year. I'll be 65 next year. I'm, you know, basically thinking about those days and what I'll be doing. And I'll probably change up some of what I'm doing. We have an excellent a senior center here in Tenafly where I live. And they have exercise programs, and they have all sorts of programs. So I'll probably be checking those out at some point soon.
Wow, you'll be 65 next year. Wow.
That's,
yep. Yeah, that's, yeah, that's, you know, and you know, what is the other monumental age, the, when you enter middle age, what is it, 30? 40?
Something like that, 30, 40.
40,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, 40, I think. And then when you hit 65, that's a milestone also, you know. But it's just a number.
Mm-hmm.
It's it all depends on how you feel, you know, how you look and what have you. You know, there are people that look a lot older than they are because, you know, they've been through trials and tribulations, you know. And then there are people that look a lot younger than they are, and for the same reasons, you know. You know, life has been good to them. And again, I stress the fact that they're wired a certain way. They chose the right parents, and that has a great deal to do with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and what you do for a living has a lot to do with it, the stress. Stress is by far one of the biggest killers, you know, and stress is all based on interpretation.
Yes, it is. And that's why I meditate twice a day.
Well, yeah.
It hasn't made life easier, but it's certainly made it a lot less stressful. So I recommend meditation to everybody. You don't have to believe in any ancient gods or anybody from outer space or anything either. It's just basically you have to breathe and just relax. And learn how to relax your entire body from the top
right.
of your head to the bottom of your feet and just relax for a little while. And it really, really makes a difference. And all those negative voices that people have in their heads, criticizing them all the time or belittling them, those voices eventually go away if you meditate. And that makes a lot of difference. You don't have all that noise going on inside your head.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the interpretation part, I think it's a prayer of serenity.
Mm-hmm.
I forget exactly how it goes. God grant me the wisdom. Oh, I forget how it goes. But the third part.
I forgot you too.
Yeah, the third part is knowing the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's key. What you can control, what you can't control, and give me the strength to know the difference. The difference is, you know, what you have control over is what you should be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell it to people, especially nowadays with the social media and whatever, I don't get too involved with certain things. My father used to say, two things you don't talk about, religion and politics. Well, gosh, you can add a number of things to that nowadays. But the whole thing is you don't want to, you know, constantly put your opinion out there because not everybody thinks alike, thank God. Not everybody thinks alike. You don't want everybody to think alike, you know.
No.
And so that's the important thing. And when you talk about these things, nobody has any control over it. You're not going to change people's opinion.
Nope, you're not.
What you have a big chance of doing is creating an enemy, creating a, hurt somebody's feelings or something like that. So it's best to keep it to yourself. You know, America was based in voting on secret ballot, and for a very good reason. Keep it all to yourself. You have an opinion based on your own interpretations of what goes on in your life, and the most important thing to do is vote. But don't try to convince anybody else of anything. You know, I just don't do that. So there's certain things I don't talk about, and people will find out they'll that'll release a lot of stress. You know, we just simply don't get all involved in that, and don't look for problems, because in today's society, by gosh, it's very easy to find the problems. The media will help you out.
yes, it will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found that too. I found that, I have started a metaphysical group in my house. I was doing it from the library for a long time, but then they closed the library for renovations for months or years. They don't quite know how long it will be closed. So I started inviting people to my home. And some of these folks are occasionally on the podcast. Some of them aren't. But they have very different political ideas than I have. But I found over the years that you don't have to agree on everything, and you can agree to disagree on something. You know, people of goodwill can disagree, but there's usually so much that you can agree on, or so much that you're commonly interested in, that if you just focus on that instead of what you don't agree on, things go much better. Even though, you know, people would have ideas that I might find very distasteful, or I might have ideas that they might find distasteful, but still, there's enough we have in common where we could focus on our commonality. So I find that that works for me a lot.
Absolutely. You know, if people would all sit down and carry on intelligent conversation, they would find out that they have a lot more in common than not.
Mm-hmm.
But why certain factions want to stir the pot and dwell on the negative, I'll never know. They must have some sort of an agenda, and I want nothing to do with it, you know.
And
but
it's easier to control people if they're angry and upset and outraged.
I think you're right, yeah.
I had a conversation with my wife recently, and I told her, you know, even though I like getting information, I had to stop listening to news type of information because regardless of what you were on the left or on the right or in the middle, regardless of where you stood, most of the information that you were getting, and I do listen to people who disagree with me wildly just to hear what they're thinking, so I could understand where they're coming from. But the way the information is presented to both sides or all three sides is in a way that provokes outrage, and that they had in common. So why should I go around feeling outraged? You know, there's enough things for me to focus on, where I can devote my attention towards solving a problem rather than being outraged about it. So I limit the amount of news I listen to these days. Yeah, I want to get a general idea of what's going on in the world, but I don't need to basically, I guess, based in the outrage. There are things I want to change, so I'm going to change them. I'll do something to help make it better. But my being upset about it and angry about it and outraged and trying to make other people outraged and upset, that just leads to not solving the problem.
Right. Yeah. You're absolutely right on that.
Now, Bill, you are a wise person. I consider you a wise person. I'm honored to be your friend. You were one of my heroes, even when I just knew you through your catalog. you've done a lot of good in the world on very many levels, including with physical culture.
You're too kind.
No, I'm not. I'm speaking my mind is how I see it.
I'm truly flattered.
You've certainly made a big difference in my life, and I really get a lot out of our conversation. So I'm glad when we have the luxury of being free at the same time to have these conversations.
You made my day. I'm glad I can contribute to you in a positive way, as I do with a lot of people.
What is the future bring for Super Strength Training? The knowledge that you've gathered and you preserve and you make available is invaluable. and you have, I've seen the growth with the website, and you do, of course, not only my podcast, but other podcasts, and I've seen you on YouTube. Do you have any plan for the days as they unfold now in this new reality that we find ourselves in more and more?
I don't know. Since I've been doing this, which is well over 50 years, I've noticed a great many changes. You know, the internet being the biggest one and all the things that go along with it, both good and bad, I think I can reach out to far more, a lot more people through the internet, through my newsletters and what have you. I have a huge following, and I get many emails every day commenting on what I have to say, and 90% of them are positive. You know, there are going to be people that disagree with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, you know, I reply, and I say, thank you. Thank you for speaking your mind. You know, I think as General Patton once said, if everybody's thinking alike, somebody's not thinking. You know.
I like that.
I don't want everybody to think exactly alike because everybody is sitting in a different seat in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to look at things going on in that field ever so slightly different than the guy sitting next to you. And so you're going to have a different point of view, literally, no pun intended. And so this is where a lot of this comes into play. I'm older than a lot of my followers that read my emails, so I try to contribute to them through my experience because, you know, I've lived several years longer than they have, you know. And again, it's my point of view. I don't expect them to agree on everything because they're living in an entirely different world. They can't relate to my world back in the 60s, and in some ways I cannot relate to their world here in, 2023. In many ways I can't, you know. There are profound differences. And a lot of it, again, has to do with the internet and social media, you know, where everybody's handed a microphone, you know. So, and some people vent their frustrations, and some people will put stuff out there to support their agenda. They have a certain agenda. And then they sit back and, you know, let everybody comment on it as to where things are going. I have a very positive point of view in life in general. I don't like to dwell on the negative. That accomplishes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to look at things from the standpoint that they will get better. You know, we have, you know, topics like global warming, or what I like to call climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's happening. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not the first time it's happened. We've only kept track of the weather for about 150 years,
mm-hmm.
As far as keeping records. So what do we know? We can only speculate what happened 200, 300, 1,000 years ago. You know, through the tools that we have as of now. You know, 50 years ago, the tools we had were far different. For example, from a medical standpoint of view, if you had a bad hip or a bad shoulder, say in the 1950s, well, there's no shoulder or hip or knee replacement. You know, if you had a bad hip or a bad knee, it started out with a cane, then a crutch, then a wheelchair, and then you're bedridden. And then, thanks to modern medicine, again, the tools that we developed, we have joint replacement. And the same way with heart surgery. We have open heart surgery, okay? it gives people a lease on life. The average life expectancy in 1900 was 49 years old. So we have, through modern medicine, added another 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
25, 30 years, okay? Yes, it comes at a price, but nevertheless, it is available. The possibilities are there. And you know, but as far as climate change, this has been going on forever. Okay, I remember the front page of Time magazine said we're entering an ice age. I think that was back in the 60s.
I remember that.
So, you know, and I read somewhere, because I do a lot of research on the internet, with regard to climate change, that no less than five times in the history of Earth, there has been a severe climate change where it's wiped out 90% of the animals and vegetables.
Yes, extinction events, they call them.
Yes, and then it came back. And then again. So maybe this is a cycle. I don't know. Is there anything we can do about it? Well, we'd like to think that we can, but do we really have that much control? I don't know. Again, I'm very hopeful that this passes and that we do the right thing if that has anything to do with it. If mankind has a position to at least try to correct it, and hopefully we will get through this. But there are many other things that are constantly put before us, but the media likes to do that. And I'm always, again, very positive, and I try to hope for the best, and we move on from there.
And we're the media, too, not big media, but we're the media, too. So spreading that message, even in
yes.
a small way, if it's done constantly, it will touch very many people. And like always, this the time to say goodbye comes, and we're a couple of minutes away from the show ending. How can people find you and Super Strength Training?
Okay. You can type in superstrengthtraining.com. My website will pop up, and take your time going through the various pages. Look it over. Sign up for my free daily newsletter. There's boxes on every page that says free newsletter. You type in your first and last name and your email address, and click on the link, and you should receive a email welcoming you, and then you should get free daily emails. Much of the information is very similar to what I share with Hercules here, and on all different topics: training, biographies, the latest and greatest, special books to answer many of your questions, time-tested methods of training. And that would help you. It's free. There's no cost. And that should help you with your training.
Bill, thank you so very much for taking the time. I had a wonderful time as always, and I look forward to our next conversation already.
Thank you very kindly, and so do I, believe me. Thank you. You're very kind.
Thank you. Be well, and to all who listened tonight, thank you for being here and listening to us, and I hope to see or hear or sense everybody very soon. Joyous journeys and amazing adventures, Paul, and thanks again, Bill.
Thank you, sir. Bye now.
Bye-bye.